Kanye Youngblood, Australia auf Flux FM. Es ist 15 Uhr und 18 Minuten und der Künstler aus Dallas, der mittlerweile in Nashville lebt, aber dort gar nicht arbeitet, er spielt heute Abend im Privatclub. Bereits jetzt ist er bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über die Debüt-LP Cheyenne, die der Multi-Instrumentalist selbst produziert hat. Wir finden raus, warum Dallas zum Aufnehmen dann doch besser war als Nashville. Wir sprechen über Texte, die sich im Verlauf der Arbeit verändern, über Synästhesie unter Umständen und vieles mehr. Zunächst sage ich aber hello and welcome again.
Hi, hi, hi. Moin, Berlin. Tachchen.
Yes, that's hi. Good to be. He always speaks German. Oh. Already speaks German after 5 minutes in Studio yeah. One at Flux FM.
Perfect.
Welcome to Flux FM, my man.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
It is my pleasure to be here, but I'm doing great today.
Cool.
It's been awesome. We went to a park, threw some frisbee around.
All right.
Went for a nice run through some woods, some Scots pine, saw some birds.
Nice.
It was great.
Sounds like a great day
German
off, kind
day.
Of day. It's not a day off because you play a show tonight, but...
But we got here last night, so we had a full morning,
okay,
a full
cool.
morning off. Usually those are driving, and so it was nice to just start the day off right.
Cool. And where did you play yesterday, or where have you
yesterday,
come from?
Yesterday came from Gothenburg.
Oh, okay, nice.
Göteborg. Yeah, had a day off. Day off yesterday, but that was just driving and taking a boat.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, you have to take the ferry, right, to get away from there. So congratulations on Cheyenne, your first LP, an album that does have a very unique sound, I guess. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that you're producing it on your own, that you're playing most of the instruments on your own. And I want to know, how important is working without an external producer for you as an artist? How important is it for the result that we're listening to right now?
So I'd say the uniqueness of it definitely has mostly to do with the fact that I don't know what I'm doing, which turned out to be a good thing, because I play every instrument on it, I write and sing it all, and it took years and years of me doing this to turn that pretty averagely bad sound into something unique. So now I'm really happy with it, and it was honestly I don't know any other producers. I've never worked with many other musicians. It's kind of just I used the settings that I had and just did it on my own, and it felt right, and it eventually got decent sounding.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love working on my own, but I'm not opposed to working with other people. But for this one, it was very nice to just, it was just a kind of a, something I wanted to get out and off my back. And
I really think that for your music, it's truly important to not ask for certain tips and tricks, you know, because there's always some guy who knows how to record the vocals in a slightly different way, or maybe there's a little trick on how to produce the drums, but then it's going to sound like every other guy's band, you know,
exactly.
or every other stuff that the guy has produced before. And I'm really happy that you're having the balls, actually, to do it on your own, because it can get complicated, I guess.
Yeah.
You've compared making music on your own to working on a painting.
Yeah.
As a painter has to know when to stop. There's layers and layers on the painting. He has to know when to stop and when to show the painting to other people or not even show it.
Right. And no painter's going to have it be a collaborative project and ask for 10 other people to start adding different touches here and there, and then get feedback and then start repainting and have some other guy paint over his painting and add. It's just you finish a painting and then you put it out. And it's your own.
And did you find a technique, or did you find a way to find out when you have to stop putting layers?
When you run out of money.
That's for a painter, because he's painting with oil. That's expensive. But if you can add another layer of a guitar or something without having money in your pocket.
True. I'd say it's whenever I'm pretty much not happy with listening to the song until it's done. And so I'm usually just trying to get to a point where I'm actually finally happy with it. And I have an idea sort of in my head, but I'd say if, let's say, a song takes me 30 days, I don't like the song for the first 29. And so on the 30th day, it all usually comes together. It's always step by step, but usually it goes from not liking it, 20%, 20%, 20%, 100%.
Well, nice.
And it's like, oh, cool, it's done.
That sounds good to me. Yeah. And it brings me up to another point, because I've read about the fact that you do love the color yellow, and that some songs appear yellow to you. So that's kind of like a synesthesia thing, right? That people can feel colors or hear pictures. You know what I'm saying? That's the synesthesia thing. And maybe that's something that happens inside of your system when you're realizing that a song is finished. Maybe there's, you know, there's colors that are coming together, and that is that something like that, no, maybe? Do you have?
I don't think I have synesthesia, but I wish. I don't know. I do really like the color yellow, and I'm actually, there's a friend of mine I know who's standing right next to me in the room who hates the color yellow. We've talked about this. We talked about yellow.
You've just outed your friend as a yellow hater. That's tough. On live radio. On live radio.
She's a yellow hater.
She hates yellow.
And I'm a yellow lover. Lover of all things yellow. But where did it start with? So I don't know. Yeah, there's, I think, three or four songs that directly shout out yellow. So there's one called Yellow Knife, Sulphur Springs, Lemonade, even Los Angeles feels yellow to me. The cover, the Cheyenne text is in yellow, and I wanted yellow imagery in some of the videos. But it just felt right. I didn't know any of
that. Yeah, that's good. No, it's
it
good.
It all felt yellow. That was it.
And now it's all yellow.
Which is so, such a good song.
Reminds me of the Coldplay song. Oh, it's a good such song. A good song. That's true. One of the best songs.
Yeah. Oh, what a great song. Maybe that's where it started. Maybe I was listening to Coldplay a couple years ago, and I said, I'm going to base my entire life off this Coldplay song.
Another thing that I found interesting is that you sometimes think of songs that you really like, and then you're trying to work into that direction. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's one of your songs.
Exactly.
That's a nice technique as well, so
I
think.
It's just
embrace your role models, right? Mm-hmm. So many people are like, I'm actually a big fan of Steeler's Wheel, but I'm going into another direction, you know, because I don't want to copy them. I want to reinvent the wheel. But I think it's really a good idea to just go like, yeah, I love Steeler's Wheel, and let's try to sound like Steeler's Wheel in that next song, because most of the times you're going to sound differently anyway.
Yeah, so by the end of it, agreeing it's going to sound different, it's going to sound like my own thing, because I have no idea how they produced it. I have no idea how to sing like them, play instruments like them, but if I just like a segment of how Stevie Wonder does a drum fill, it might be something as simple as that, I'm like, I want to use that. I was like, write down a note. If I like someone, just the way they're picking guitar, the way they hold a note, singing this and that, I just take little notes and try to combine them later on. But yeah, it ends up sounding nothing like those songs usually, unless sometimes the goal is to sound like one of those songs, which is cool. I don't know.
Because
you have idols and influences.
Like, yeah. And I think really as soon as you try, and especially when you're working on your own and you don't have that professional musician around you who's like, I can play every Smith song, you know? And then you try playing that song that sounds like the Smiths. It's going to be an interesting result in the end of the day. Let's listen to Los Angeles.
Perfect.
Which is off of the record Cheyenne. Wir hören hier Conor Youngblood nochmal. Wir quatschen gleich noch ein bisschen weiter und verlosen dann auch noch Tickets für die Show heute Abend im Privatclub. Conor Youngblood auf Flux FM. Conor Youngblood mit Los Angeles. Good song.
Thanks. Dankeschön.
Sehr gerne.
I tried my best.
I think you've accomplished something, man. One can really listen to that stuff.
Thanks.
It's not hard on my ears or something.
I thought it was a good idea to make and write, and I didn't hate it. So as long as other people like it, I'll keep making more.
Just do that. Right. Connor, you have my blessings. Just go for it. I'm already looking forward to more material, really. You do live in Nashville now, but you've recorded the LP back in Dallas, where you're actually coming from. Why was that? Did you record it at your house or something?
I recorded a few. So you've got good intel. I'm from Dallas. I moved to Nashville about 6 years ago, and for some reason, as big of a music city as Nashville is, I always defer to go back to Dallas and record there. Some songs at my house, some at a studio, but there's an engineer that I really like working with.
You've worked with him from the beginning, right?
Like the last 10 years, whenever the first time I started doing music. So we have a really good rhythm together. And so I'd say half the album I recorded at my house and about half in the studio, like usually all the finishing touches studio. A couple songs I did all of in my room. Two, I think I did completely in my room, but yeah, he would bring some equipment and we'd get it done.
Another great advantage of making stuff on your own. You can just decide where to record the next song. You don't have to pay the studio fee just to play table tennis for $500 a day, you know?
Exactly. So the studio we go to doesn't even have table tennis.
That's good.
It's a good thing. It's just a good thing. And I have no friends, which is even better. Yeah. I have no one to play with.
A bit sad though.
I have a dog. We go running in the morning.
You miss your dog. I've read about that as well. I know everything about you.
I do have friends. I think. I don't know.
You can have a few friends in here. We are becoming your friends right now.
So how much does it cost?
Just choose one. Just choose one. You can have them all. Making music can be a therapeutical thing now that we're talking about the fact that you don't have friends. Let's go into the therapeutical area. And I've read that you did find out stuff about your own when writing those lyrics, and that you did find stuff about people that you wrote about when writing lyrics. You wrote a song that was supposed to tell another person that you kind of hate her. And then you tried writing and realized it's wrong. And then at the end of the day, the song was about how much you miss her.
Yeah, that did happen. That one was really strange. I was stuck on a song for months and months, and I came across the person I was writing about randomly again. And I was like, oh, crap, like I've been doing it the wrong way. Like I've been going about trying to write the song all wrong. And I finished it like that night with just a completely new attitude towards it. And it felt better. It felt right. It's this one called Red 23 that I love. Yeah. And yeah, the lyrics sort of just all slowly morphed into what I think I should have been writing from the first place.
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
Yeah. It wasn't really about hate at the beginning, but still.
What I just wanted to emphasize is that there's this therapeutical thing happening. Mm-hmm. You know, you start writing a song which is supposed to go into a certain direction, and then your subconscious kind of tells you, no, Connor, think about it one more time.
One more time.
And you'll probably come up with something else.
It's like I'm playing the wrong chords. It's like, no, not quite. Maybe the words. It's like, what? No.
Speaking of chords, you do play a lot of instruments. I mean, I think you started with the harp or something crazy like that.
I started with clarinet.
But the harp
was a very early one. I cannot play harp, but I have one because my sisters took harp lessons while I was growing up. And so we had a harp, like a small harp laying around the house. And they quit and I just took it into my room.
Okay, cool.
And like it's on Australia, it's on stock. There's a few songs that use it. And I don't know what I'm doing on it, but in the studio, luckily no one's watching. And I keep playing until it sounds good.
Yeah, sure. And that's another good idea for musicians out there. Just leave your comfort zone, try out an instrument that you've never used before, and go for it. Something interesting might happen in the end of the day.
It helps refresh just songwriting ideas, I feel like, because you can get stuck on guitar.
Yeah.
Sometimes the best thing to do is just change the tuning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just to move to a different instrument.
What's the weirdest instrument on the record? I mean, there's field recordings and there's sounds on there.
Some good bird field recordings. There's one that I use in a few songs called a hurdy-gurdy that I love. It's definitely one of the strangest ones, but I use it all the time.
It's a bird?
Called a hurdy-gurdy.
The hurdy-gurdy bird?
What kind of birds are in there? There are some... what do I have in there? I have a lot of ducks. what kind of other birds...
I don't want to know about birds specifically.
Okay, but what kind of weird instruments? I use, there's an ocarina.
Okay.
Like the instrument from Zelda, the Ocarina of Time.
All right.
Yeah, I used one of those in a song called Sulphur Springs, and it's an instrument playing a melody throughout the entire song. It's subtle, but it's in there. There's this Chinese instrument I got at a pawn shop, I think, called a... I don't even remember the name of it, but it looked cool.
That's good. That's my favorite answer to this question. Well, there's this one instrument that I don't know the name of, but it's Chinese.
I forget.
So are you already working on new stuff? Because you seem like a guy who's constantly thinking of new songs and stuff.
Definitely constantly thinking. And then it is tougher for me to like really get in the studio and go all out. But there's two-ish songs I've been working on. Just ideas, demoing things, recording stuff just on my own and my laptop. But I'd say there's one that's almost done.
Cool.
And I don't know when.
Yeah, I mean, we just want you to keep on working. We want more stuff as soon as possible. So that's why I'm asking.
It's coming. It's coming.
Nice. So I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show.
Thank you.
Conrad, it was a great pleasure to be talking to you. I have a good feeling that we're going to meet again.
Hopefully.
Because you're going to return to Berlin for another show.
And I have German family now. Yeah.
Yes.
My sister just got married to a German. So now I'm part German, basically. See? That's how it works.
Yeah, and you have a little Flux FM family here on your own as well, you know?
Exactly.
You've been here for long enough to become part of the family. Conny Youngblood, thank you for coming.
Tschüss.
Wer Tickets haben möchte für die Show heute Abend, kann jetzt anrufen. 030-2000-9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Berlin 2000-9000, jetzt schnell durchrufen. Wir haben Freikarten für die Conny Youngblood Show heute Abend im Privatclub. Er stellt dort nochmal seine tolle erste Platte Cheyenne vor, über die wir gerade ein bisschen gesprochen haben und von der ich auch noch einen Track abspielen werde, und zwar den Stockholm Song.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Ciao, Conny Youngblood mit Stockholm auf Flux FM 030 2000 9000 für die Tickets. Oh.